Hey, a dirt horse. And down again as a professional hanger. I would suggest to you not to draw anything out of that race 3 slope. Now the next race. This is 2 slope. These are non-winners of 1, and the race comes up 2 slow. Now when you consider again, there's a qualifier in this, and that is this race distorts things a little bit. So now let's say that this race is 0. There's still no big gap between anybody in this race to say that somebody ought to be a horse to watch list based on the strength of the race. But now I'm going to refer you to the trouble line. Now, unfortunately, this horse is liable to come up short, depending on where they put him. And that's a horse called Deputé. Okay, now read, I'll read it. Far back early after stumbling shortly after the start when he clipped heels. Now I got to tell you something. If you had seen that, this horse practically did a belly flop. To say he stumbled doesn't quite stay there. All right, he practically did a belly flop, and now he's running well behind everybody. Then it says, "Oh, he was way back." Yeah. Began rallying in earnest after a half. Continued gaining on the far turn while wide. Battled for command through the drive and just missed the place. And he gets beat a length and a half for the whole thing after that trip.
By far the best horse.
He should have won that just in a breeze. Now, I'm going to tell you something else about this one. This is for if you're at the racetrack, you've got to make these observations. I'll share this one with you, but you can't quite do it, appreciate it completely from the chart. That had to be the worst timed move by any, what you would consider to be a good rider, Patrick Valenzuela, that I've seen at the meeting. He timed this, he started this horse as one when it says after a half, he started that before the half, he started that thing before they ever got a half mile. He continued that move around everybody. Right. And when it says he was wide, wide doesn't state it. I mean, he was sniffing at the parking lot when he went around the turn. That's right. And then he got him to the lead. And then he hung.
Or did he actually get the lead?
He actually stuck his head in front. I'm proceeding right just about on the finish line, and just about before he got to us, he actually stuck his head in front. But here comes this horse, Roundlet, who was auctioned and locked himself. He probably should have won the race the way it was run. Deputé was the best horse in that field without any question at all.
Now, I had that exactly with Deputé over Silver Dude.
I had it over Silver Dude also. And I thought that was horrible. I mean, and everybody, people I have a lot of respect for in terms of seeing races. Now, Lee Russo is a very good trip handicapper. Jim Quinn is somewhere, I mean, he's more like I am. Lee's got those kinds of skills, we bring other skills. But we agreed as a group that had to be the worst timed ride of the meeting so far. I mean, why Patrick asked that kind of a run that early is... it was just no way he's going to win. He must have thought for sure he had the best horse, which he did. Okay. So we add him to our horses to watch list, and now we have, what, 4?
Based on the trouble in this race, one of the talk shows that comes on after Trevor does the reruns put all 3, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th horse on their horses to watch list.
I'll buy that.
And they put Breakfast Table on top, though, not Deputé.
Okay. You know, I Breakfast Table had a Roundlet was blocked all the way down the stretch, or he would have won the race.
They thought all 3 of them had hellacious trouble, and all 3 made good moves.
I can't see anything.
Now, Breakfast Table's one I've been looking for some time, because when he broke his maiden out at Del Mar, he did it against the bias, and he went wire to wire. They've been trying, they must have tried 3 or 4 times to put him on the turf in his next race and kept getting either scratched or didn't draw in, or the race went off because of the mud. Yeah. And when he finally did get to run again, they took it off at the last minute. That was that race at Hollywood Park in closing weekend. They took it off at the last minute. He got stuck back on the dirt. So now this is, he's finally had a chance to run on the turf course, and he's going to be pretty nice. So I would agree with that. But as far as what we can read here, unless you're actually at the racetrack, you can see the things. This is what you're getting from the charts, and we're going to put Deputé on that.
Well, they ran the tape.
Okay, now if you have that, yes, because I thought Roundlet should have won the race the way it was, but I also thought Deputé was clearly the best horse.
Who cut him off? Did Silver Dude cut the Roundlet off?
Nobody cut him off. He was just blocked. He had nowhere to go. For almost an eighth of a mile. He just had no place to go.
Yeah, I thought Roundlet was
In fact, I have.
He should have won. He should have won. Although, when you really say it, the deputy should have won. You know, so I mean, it's, and I can see we can put both of them and breakfast table who had a bad trip in there. All right, let's go to the next. Now, with this one, I'm going to let you make a variant. So we're going to take probably the next 25 minutes, and you're going to make the variant yourself, because I want to make sure when you go out of here, you can apply this. Be sure to separate the sprints and the routes, so that you have a sprint variant, and you have a route variant. Then, when you're finished making yours, we'll make it together, and then adjust each of these races after we've done that. Yeah, Jim?
If you don't show any adjustment down here to the calculus.
I'm not. For what we're doing here, it's about a point is what it really is. But for this process, you don't have to adjust it because you're only talking one length, and you maybe it depends on who you talk to, maybe zero. Because Calbreds are decent runners. It's not like having Pennsylvania Reds or New York Reds. But it is about a length.
Some of them are pretty bad.
Oh, sure. But some of the openings are bad, too.
That's true.
See, what happens is you don't have to base your variant on that one race. See, if you have four races, that one length gets swallowed up in the other four. Or other three. Be that quite that close, so I'm not making that. Now, one adjustment I am going to make for you, though, and I didn't realize I had done it until yesterday, the sixth race. We're going to make this par together so that you know how to make the par to start with. This race is for maiden 50s. Yes. Now, the maiden claiming par that I gave you on the front page is maiden 32s, because 19 out of 20 maiden races, or maybe more, are for maiden 32s.
That's only because they eliminated the 25s.
Well, it's, yeah, or the 10s or the 8s.
I don't go back that far.
And in this case, when you have maiden 50s, that's just a subtle drop out of maiden. Yeah. And what I would suggest to you is that if you have a maiden 50, adjust that. See, the difference between a maiden and a maiden 32 on my part-time chart is five lengths. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would suggest to you that you only make a two-length adjustment for maiden 50s. So now let's make the par for this, and once we've done that, I think the process would be yours. The maiden par is 110 and 3, am I right? Based on the pars in the front?
So 111.
Okay, 110 and 3. Okay, for the maiden 50s, I just said to add 2 to the maiden par. Okay, so that makes that maiden par 111, right? Okay, what sex does this race happen to be?
Phillies and a 3-year-old.
Phillies?
How many do you have for Phillies?
2.
That makes it 111 what? 2. How old are these horses?
3.
How many do you have for that?
3.
The par now is 112 for this particular race. Now let's go through that again. It's a maiden 50. I'm telling you to use 2 lengths for the maiden 50s against the maidens. So that becomes, that 110 and 3 becomes 111. Now that's still based on older males. So now let's take a look at the female adjustment, because these are females. It becomes 111-2 now, doesn't it? Now make it a 3-year-old race. It now becomes 112-flat. Now that's the number you compare to the time of the race, which was 111-3, right? That's the number you compare it to. 112 versus 111-3. So that race then would be fast 2, am I right?
Fast 2,
yeah. Okay, that's the way you get the adjusted, or the first piece of your variant, for the sixth race anyway, is fast 2. Now you do all the sprints that way, and then do all the routes, and we'll start again by 12:30, or when you finally put your hands up in the air and it says you're through.
Even though this doesn't apply to this race, how many lengths should we apply to the routes with the maiden 50s? Difference between
3. That's pretty consistent. Because the female adjustment was 2 and 3. Minus 10.
We're fast. We're not very far.
We're wrong.
Now, let's move on. All right. We're fast.
Did somebody leave this? Was somebody missing their remarks? All right. Nick's going to do this for us. The first race on January 6th, it's a sprint for $10,000 horses. The par for $10,000 horses is 111 flat, based on the part-time chart that's up front. Therefore, this race is run slow
four.
First race is slow four because it's running 111 and four. Par was 111. When comparing those two, it's four lengths slower than par. So the first one's slow four. Second race.
Fast one.
Same conditions.
You're so quick.
let's go through this and then we say fast one. Because you're right, of course.
I'll be confused then. I won't think it is anymore.
Par is 111 again. The race is run at 110 and 4, which says that this one is fast one compared to par. So we have a slow four and a fast one. Now let me suggest something to you right now, before we go any further. An observation it will make because of these two races. Another Bloom, who got away with an easy pace in this race, won slow four compared to the fast one in the next race. Another Bloom came back as a short price this week. Anybody know where that horse finally finished?
Up the track.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next to last. Yeah.
Okay. That's what happens when I come out of slow anything races. But we'll get back to that conclusion. The fourth race, maiden clamping race for three-year-olds, $32,000. We start with a par of 113. Then we adjust it for three-year-olds, which becomes then 112 and 1, right? Now that race then is slow
1.
Forget the routes for a moment. Go to the sixth race. This is the race we already did. Let me go beyond that. Let's go now to the eighth race. The eighth race is kind of tricky for us. On the surface, par is what?
109.
Well, it's 109 for stakes horses, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So billies.
Now we got some adjustments.
Billies and threes.
We add the female adjustment, which makes it 109 and 2. Then we say that they're three-year-olds, which so makes 110. It 110 flat, right?
Right.
That makes this race then slow
three.
Okay. I got to tell you something about this race. This is where, since you're not making, some of you may want to do it. So if you're going to make a sophisticated or halfway sophisticated variant, you have to analyze the race that you're looking at. In this particular race, Tomorrow's Child, even though she's been running in stakes races, is still eligible for non-winners races. Forewarning, who ran second in there, is a maiden. The rest of these horses are barely non-winners ones. Now what I did for myself is say that this race is a non-winners and two race and work the par that one. Mm. And the race only comes up about slow one or so. But anyway, that's you got the right par. I'm just suggesting if you're going to do this kind of thing on a daily basis, that you might want to consider the kind of race it was in. Because older males is no problem. I mean, you just take whatever the par is. And some of these others you've got to evaluate a little bit.
Okay.
So therefore we have slow three. I'm sorry, what did we have? Slow four, fast one. Slow one, fast two, possibly slow three. So we'll add these things together and come up with
minus seven.
A total of what?
Slow seven.
Slow five,
excuse me.
Slow five, okay. We also have, conveniently, five races.
So it's minus one.
Which makes that day's variant what?
Slow one.
You have five. Five is your total. You got five races. Five into five gives you one. So the track that day is slow one, based on his calculations.
Have you add those together?
Sure.
Some of them are minus and some are plus. Probably ought to do this.
So it starts with slow four, then you add a fast one to that, becomes slow three, then slow four again when you add the slow to it, then it becomes slow two, and then becomes slow five. Anybody have any problem with that? The variant, a rough variant that day is slow one. Let's go back into these races. Let's adjust the final time on the first race by one.
Is it 1:12?
See, and that's what I'm going to ask for. You went the wrong way with that. What now is the time on that first race?
1:11:3.
1:11:3, because the track was slow one, which says then you have to speed up that race to accommodate that slow one. So that becomes 1:11:3. What was the par?
1:11:5.
The adjusted time on that race is slow three. That's seriously slow. That's slow
three. Race we
Now, anybody that bet another Bloom out of that race, after realizing that race was slow three, took the worst of it all. Because there was another pace setter in with it. But anyway, that's kind of a slow race you really be careful of when you bet back. Because they don't normally run well. Now, let's look at the next race in which they did run well. That race then, off of a slow one becomes what?
1:10:3.
1:10:3, and now becomes fast two. Now fast one is significant, fast two is even more so. Let's go down to the fourth race. It becomes 1:12:1.
Which is the par.
Which is par. So that becomes a zero race. That's neither good nor bad. And in this case, an unkept secret came out of that race to run very well the other day. Can be the photo in the same conditions. Let's go to the Designing Charles race. That adjusts to a 1:11:2, which says that that race is now what?
Fast.
Three. That's significantly fast also.
Designing Charles
But he broke slowly. Well, she broke slowly, yeah. And she had a little run down the stretch, so it's hard to judge that. We're not going to make her horse to watch anyway, for the reasons I'm going to tell you. Let's go to the eighth race now. That adjusts to a 1:10:2. Based on our pars, we say that that's slow too. Now, for that particular field, it's not necessarily slow. But for the class level, it is certainly slow. So let's say that that is slow too. Now let's go in and extract what we want to extract. For the first race, forget about that race. No reason to pull anyone out of that first race. Let's go to the second race, though. No sense adding this one to your horses to watch this because we already cashed it. Look at Golden Bow in here. Golden Bow, under pressure to the half, kind of pulls away from the field. A snappy band who was dropping down the stretch by length, right? Which says that Golden Bowl ran a length better than par himself. Now look at the last race date on Golden Bowl. When was that?
11th.
October 11th, right? So this horse was coming off of a 3-month layoff, right? And ran very gamely because the reason I made him a horse to watch for myself is that look at the gap between him and the third place finisher. Those are all, that's one of the reasons you're looking at these charts. You're looking for gaps like that. In a well-run race, you look for gaps like that. In other words, how many horses in this race? 10? 8 horses in a $10,000 race couldn't get within 3.5 lengths of this horse in a fast one race for him. Golden Bowl would be a horse to watch. Now, if any of you were playing on Friday, and I hope you were, he was the top number horse for us to start with. And he was stepped up by Bill Spar, who I have a lot of respect for as a trainer, because when he's got a horse that is supposed to run well, they run well. And he stepped the horse up from 10 to 16 off of this race, and won, he ran the best race of his life, as a matter of fact. So, okay, there's Golden Bow. That would have been a horse to watch, and there's no reason to write him down because he's already been cashed at $9 and something. But the process is the same. Now let me add a little more support to that process. The horse that finished fourth in there, anybody know what Buen Chico did out of this race?
Yeah, he won.
He won too. So just put a little circle now around when she phoned.
$20 or something.
I believe Terrifier came back. Yeah. Terrifier came back and was second, I believe.
Terrifier came back to run very well at the same level. So now I think he ran. I put him down third, but he might have been second. Okay, so he ran well out of this race.
Maybe he was
Golden Moe ran well out of this race. We've already said that. Now, Snappy Band, unfortunately, was claimed in here and moved to another barn. It still ran pretty decent. I think he ran fourth the other day at a higher level. Now, unfortunately, the next finisher in this race, who sometimes you might say is bettable, Greg's Place, is just a bad horse. He is a bad horse. So, I mean, this kind of a race, this is the idea of a key race. We've circled two winners out of the race. We also almost circled Terrifier because he did run well. Now, this is the kind of race you're going to look at for some time, maybe not this particular one, but this is what you're doing in identifying key races. You're circling winners, you're looking for horses that ran very well out of a given race that may or may not have rated highly, but you wanted to rate highly also.
How many of you have read Steve Davidowitz when he talked about the key race concept? What Tom's doing here is showing you how to identify a key race before you circle two or three, so you get to cash all those tickets. Davidowitz's concept is great, but by the time I've identified a key race, Golden Moe and Bianchibo, you've missed those. So now is when you'd really say this is a key race, and all the first five finishers have run back.
Yeah, now, I would not have played Duenchico as a key race horse out of this. He was just the first one to come back, and he won. Then it gave a key race status, because out of this race, the only one I made a horse to watch for myself was the Golden Moe.
I played Duenchico.
The race set up well for him. I mean, but I didn't make it as a horse to watch. The race just set up very, very well.
Let me ask you about Terrifier. He ran, he did win after this race, but he ran real well.
Yeah.
If he comes up at a price next time, say 3-1, 4-1, would you play him?
Might. I would not play him as a horse. Yeah, but I would not play him as a horse to watch. I would play him. I would handicap him. If he came up strongly for me, then I'd say he's out of a key race with him.
Well, that's what I mean. You handicap him first.
That's right. Because Terrifier is not much of a horse.
Really?
So he'd have to come up with a good number.
You'd have to look at the race he's run in since and decide that's a key race.
That's what I'm saying. You'd have to handicap Terrifier. Then if he came up well for him, you could then say he came out of a very strong race here. But I wouldn't put him as a horse to watch. Yeah, he's a bad horse.
Could you sort of quantify for everyone what you mean by a horse with the numbers versus a horse to watch? Because I know when I've talked to you, you will move horses up. How much will you move them up and so forth because of the horses to watch list if they don't come up with really super numbers? He's a 3 as opposed to a 2.
Golden Moe, right? This race, he's adjusted one length better than Park. Alright? He's now running a 16 the other day.
Mm-hmm.
If the other 16s in that race had come up with a better number than Golden Moe, I would have said to myself, I only have him one length better than par, which makes him fit 12 fives, probably. It's 16s, there's better 16s in here, I won't play him in this race. On the other hand, he's a horse to watch for me, and he also comes up with a dominant figure in his race. So now what do you do with it? You bet it.
Yeah, right.
And in that case, you had a one length edge in terms of par in his race. That's significant at times. But Golden Moe had to have both for me the other day.
Okay.
Are you going to talk more about these races?
Sure. Did you anybody get the follow-up? Who gets the follow-up in here? All right, because a couple of issues ago, I wrote something on key races.
Yeah.
Okay. I refer you back to we're going to talk more about key races, but I also refer you back to that material. Okay. Did you get anything out of it?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Let's go to the fourth race. This race was run at 0 for maiden 32s, which is a chronically bad bunch of horses in the first race. All this did was match par, and the first four finishers finished within a length and 3/4 of one another. And I suggest to you, you don't take horses to watch out of a race like that. Because if they're the worst horses on the grounds to start with, and since they ran so competitively with one another, I mean, they'll probably continue to do that. Even though Unkept Secret did run well out of this race, I still wouldn't touch that race. The sixth race, the winner was Designing Charles, running 3 better than par. The problem with Designing Charles is that it had a number of races in which it had the race won at the 8th pole and had given it up. This one it won, and now it has to face winners, doesn't it? Well, I mean, if you want to put a horse like that on your horses to watch list, you just have to be aware that they're going to be in an entirely different context next time.
What about the second horse?
Well, let's see, the second horse has kind of been a chronic loser, Shanna Madel. Although they added Lasix, I think, this day, and she ran again the other day. But she's one of those horses that comes running late and gets a piece of the first. So, I mean, I wouldn't add her because she still finishes fast one in this particular race. But in a maiden claiming race, I tend not too often to use them unless it's really sensational. Well, but you can do that.
I made a mistake. I went too conservative because he came out when they're running real good. And I played him even though it, you know, he had many, many chances to win. He finally won one here, and I thought he might win again, but he didn't.
Well, see, but he got left at the gate. So once that happens to you, you're out of business. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I don't care if the horse was in bed. The other day, Friday, seventh race. Horse won, wins the race, Winwood Lane. Now, I don't care what set of numbers I've used. I could not put Winwood Lane on top in that race. But I could make a competitive case for the horse by eliminating horses that did come up on top. The horse that came up number one in the race, depending on what work he did, because we discussed this yesterday, it was Seabrook, his race down at Del Mar, using the whole race, the El Cajon Stakes, right? But now you're buying into a race, the horse that won in September or August, and after winning a race, it can't keep it racing, right? So they give it some time off. So now you're looking at that saying, is the horse going to run that race? It sprints previously, it's now winners of ones and maidens, and this is now winners of three, it's it. So you can kind of, by process of elimination, you make a stand on Seabrook, one way or the other, but if you make the right stand, you eliminate the horse. The next best figure horse in the race was Crystal Run. Mm-hmm. Now, Crystal Run had won a sensational race down the hill to win by six and a half furlongs. Right? That's an impressive win because they don't win very often like that, running off. And it was a big number. But you had to transfer that number from the 6.5 furlongs down the hill onto the dirt course in a sprint at 6.5. I got to tell you, I thought Crystal Run was the best horse in that race after watching it. Because Crystal Run broke in the inside, did not come out anywhere near well, was kind of rushed up along the inside, ran steadily, got blocked at least 3/8 of a mile. I mean, he just had no place to run until the race was over, and then ran third in the race in a photo per second, ran very well.
The other one, a dual run?
No.
But Caballo de Oro, what numbers did you give him?
Caballo de Oro was another stand. Oh, good numbers. He had good numbers.
Pace, at least.
He had good numbers, absolutely.
He held on much better than in his prior.
He had good numbers. But so I didn't like that. I didn't play that race because I had so many questions to answer. But in the process of elimination yesterday, if you go through that, you can come up with Winwood Lane, but I defy you to put him on top in the race. But by eliminating some of these others, Happy in Space, for example, he ran kind of a decent race over at Oak Tree, but he's had a couple of chances since then. So now you go back to Oak Tree after he routed a couple of times. So if you put him on top of that horse, you can also make a case against him. By default, Winwood Lane may wind up with one of the top two horses. Now we had a guy in here yesterday played Winwood Lane and Caballo de Oro without any hesitation. Okay. That was a very nice call. But he did not have Winwood Lane on top, and I don't think you can. Unless you go through this process of elimination.
Now,
you
have to say, faster, right?
We're not going to handicap that race, but I'm just saying that this kind of thing happens all the time. Designing Charles just got left in the game in its next step. Let's go now to the feature race, the eighth race. Tomorrow's Child has been running in stakes races ever since she broke her maiden. This was a stakes race, but we also decided this race was too slow. So if she's going to continue in stakes races, therefore, if she can't make match par in this particular race, she's going to have to then run in a better one. We're going to eliminate. We're not going to use anything from her. Now, if you recall, she ran against Winning Colors in her next start and couldn't get close to the lead. I mean, they just buried her. But she was coming out of this race, which adjusted slow. So she really didn't have, she was second choice in the next race and really didn't have a whole lot of chances. Well, she was in the outside, too. I mean, she just never threatened to get to the lead. Well, a horse that would make a horse to watch out of here, but you have to have been handicapping to do it, is Forewarning. Who came back and ran third in a route next time as in a stakes again. This is a maiden. Now, if you consider the maiden par and apply this Forewarning to the maiden par, that horse comes up very well in it.
Yeah.
Now, what I was hoping would happen with Forewarning is that they would put it in a mile and a 16th race on the dirt against maiden. Now, of course, they brought it back to Winning Colors 50. So, but the process doesn't change. When you come across things like that, Now, you wouldn't know that from the charts, but you need your racing forms. I'm assuming you're reading racing forms. So that was a big effort by four runners. That would be a horse to watch, and you would look for the route, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, we'll go to the routes. The fifth race, which was the most dismally run non-winners of one at the meeting. This was horrible.
Slow 10,
right? Is that horrible? Because in and of itself, it's not horrible. If all the routes were slow 10. In the seventh race?
Fast 6.
Now that makes the name of Noble Nathan, Dance for Lee, Circle View Drive. Let's go to the ninth now.
Slow 2.
And that comes up slow 2.
That's an average of minus F slow 2.
All right. We make the average slow 2.
I got it fast.
We make it fast 2.
No.
Oh, we got a slow 10,
a slow
10,
a slow 2, and a fast 6.
Fast.
All right.
Total slow 6 divided by 3 is slow 2.
10. Fast 6 makes it slow 4. Now it becomes slow 6. Divided by 3 makes the track slow 2. Don't do this yet. Okay. Now you have a situation where you have to fool around with your bearing a little bit because good taste went off by 8, didn't it? The other two races are both slow. The average winning margin in these races is about 2 lengths. When you have a horse, you got to do this twice. You got to do it with the fast 6, but then you have to cut the winning margin on that runaway winner back down to 2 to see what you're left with. Now, if you did that, that would take 6 lengths off that final time, wouldn't it? Please make sure you get this because you're going to be faced with this 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah. Question, Tom. You said cut the winning lengths down to 2. Why? Any particular reason why you do that?
Yeah, because the average winner is 2 lengths.
Thank you.
Okay. Average overall.
Now, sometimes it won't help your puzzle at all, but you're not trying to make the same variant I am here. What I have to do is go project on a day like this when I got a fast 10, a slow 6, slow 10, fast 6, I've got to project everything in every race.
Okay. Tom, now you say. Average winning margin was 2 lengths. Is that for the entire card for the day?
Period.
The route.
That's every day.
That's every day.
That's every day. When you average them all up, it comes to about 2 lengths.
That's sweet.
Okay. Now, that if you do that, the final time adjusted for that race would be 1:36.4, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Which compared to a par of
1:36.4.
So we'll make that race 0 then. So we have a slow 10, a slow 2, and a 0, which is a little more realistic than a fast 6 in the middle of all of that.
Oh.
So that's how you do it.
Yeah. And we still have one that's out of line in that 10. But if we take that, we take 12 divided by 3 makes the track what? Slow 4? Now, 2 ways you can do that.
Right.
Now, if I were making a daily variant for myself, I would about throw out that race and kind of key in to these two and say that the track is slow too. But it's not what we're trying to get out of this process. You don't have to be that sophisticated. So we'll make the track slow 4 in a row. What did we make the sprints? Slow 1. Okay. Actually, slow 2 is actually a better number with the slow 1. Because generally speaking, you'll have a slow 1, slow 2, slow 2, slow 3. Yes.
How'd you get the slow 4?
Well, we have a slow 10,
yeah.
0, slow 2. That's 12. We have 3 races.
I thought you said you were throwing that other race out, so I was dividing by 2.
No, I would do that personally, okay?
Now I understand.
Okay, what I'm trying to do is work through the process with you.
If you threw that race out, you'd divide by 2.
That's right.
Yeah. You have a slow 1.
Yeah, but I got to tell you one other thing. Generally, when you get a slow 1 in the sprint, you get a slow 2 in the rounds. You get a slow 2, you get a slow 3. That's generally what you get. So this is a little bit of a flag that it might be not quite that slow.
Well, that's because the track slow is going to be slower on the route.
Right? Okay, but let's use slow 4 for a moment. Go back in and adjust these races. Let's look at the Dance for Lee race. What does that adjust to?
Slow 6.
144 and 4 against a par of 143 and 3. Even after we've given it a big 4 here, it's 06.
Yeah.
Now that, there was no big headwind. The sprinklers weren't out of control. That race, some of those horses may actually come out of there and run better than you would think. But that race itself was horrible. And I would suggest to you that you not use anybody on that race as a horse to watch. It would be like making another Bloom a horse to watch. Okay, so don't fool with that. I mean, if some of them come back and run, then you'll say, because of the pace of that race, everybody decided to wait for one another, and the race just turned out badly. I mean, that can happen. But we're going to say right now that is a horrible, horrible race. And I wouldn't play anybody back out of it. Unless they were running at 10. The seventh race. Good Taste race adjusts then to a 134 and 4, doesn't it? Which makes it then past 10. Now, I think in actuality, I made the track slow too that day, which is what we about did over here. Which doesn't give it quite that big an adjustment, but the
point is... I thought we made that race a 136 and 4 by adding cutting his legs down.
Well, we did for making the variant. Now we deal with the regular...
Now we're going back to the other time.
Now we're dealing with the regular time, okay? So that becomes a 134 and 4. Is everybody clear on that?
Yeah. Do you understand why you take the 6 off? Well, what you're doing is you're really giving Good Taste 6 lengths. You're going to say, this is a super horse. But you don't want to penalize Last Command and His Highness because they happen to be in a race with Super Horse. So you're going to cut it back. So you're being a little fairer to the second and third horse, and you're really making Good Taste look fabulous by cutting those 6 lengths out. Mm-hmm. You're not penalizing that horse. You're really helping it.
Why would you look for a horse
going to 4.
Going to 4.
4 for the day.
We decided that the variant was 4 for the day, so...
Now we get a
Fast 10 is almost unbelievable. That's why I say, based on the sprint variant, slow 2 was probably the route variant for the day. But I'm just interested in the process with you folks right now. Forget, because we're not in a variant class. Yeah. It's the process that's important. I made the track slow 2 in the routes. And now, as you look at it, we did all this dancing around. Slow 10 plus fast 6 is slow 4. Slow 2 is slow 6 divided by 3 is slow 2. Yeah. We actually get a better variant by doing it the simpler way anyway. So don't worry about it. Just understand the process. And that sometimes you have to make some adjustments in that process. That's all.
It says one drip, one ridden out as opposed to one driving. Does that mean he was basically resting at the end, or was he tired?
Well, one easily is one. I mean, then he's resting at the end. One ridden out just means it kind of kept him to his task to the wire. But they weren't driving in a drive. He wasn't in a drive to get to the wire, but he was not also winning easily. Okay, so they kept him moving.
Would you make any kind of prejudice one way or the other based on?
No, because fortunately I get to see the races every day, and I get to be the judge of whether. Because you got one of the best trackmen in the country here, John White, and he. His judgment is very good. I mean, his comments are very good. But again, somebody in this room, if I tell you this horse won easily, you're going to walk out of here, probably, because unless you saw the race too, you're going to walk out and say, that horse won easily. Well, now you got somebody that said one ridden out. Now somebody else might say one driving. I normally ignore those. Okay. Because sometimes, even though they're ridden out, they're still doing their best. Just because they're not being hit.
John White's driving, man.
Yes.
And wrote the program.
It's very good. All right. Now, we're going to make Good Taste a horse to watch out of this, but unfortunately he's going to come up a short price. And he probably bounced in his next race. Because this race was... The one thing they don't do this with mirrors, right? This race was run the way it looks it was run. And even if you make the variant slow too, it still becomes 35 and 1. He ran that race. He didn't fake it. Now, unfortunately, he bounced off because he hadn't run since October, and he probably ran too well for his own good here. Because in his next race, he didn't win the other day at 3-5, and I hope you didn't play him at 3-5. But he had some excuses the other day too, because if you watch that race, you'll understand that Armin got to the lead, and Armin was in front, and Marvin's policy was sitting here, and Utech was pinned on the inside, and he was pinned on the inside for at least 7.5 furlongs of that mud. He never had a chance to move. Now, he never really looked like the winner either, but still, when it was all over, he only got beat one length after all of that, in 135 and one.
What level
did
he
run dismally next time? I just don't think
100,000. They jumped it from 50 to 100.
Yeah, but I think you could have handled that jump.
Yeah.
Looked like they weren't smooth.
They might not have been, but I think maybe he regressed a little off that way. But I mean, you can't change that. I mean, you don't go back in and say, Jesus, this race must have really been a bad race. It wasn't. He won. He just didn't repeat it, that's all. And Gary Stevens was outridden in that race. There's no doubt of that. I mean, he was, for 7.5 furlongs, he had no place to run.
Marvin Policy ran a good race.
He ran a very good race.
He had good numbers.
Yeah, he had his second best in a race.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. He didn't look great, that's for sure. But nevertheless,
look at him.
But again, he earned his figure to be second in a race in the same condition. Is he wearing a bandage and running back?
I bet him. I just wished I didn't.
My visual skills aren't to that extent. I can't. I mean, I would look at that if he added them for this race and hadn't been wearing them before, then I'd be concerned. But he was running. He already stripped with those bandages. Why not have him run it again? A good taste regressed a little, but he also got boxed in pretty bad, and they were never able to run with him. Let's forget that race, because anybody who was beat 8 lengths out of that race, there's no reason for an horse to watch this. Because they're all, some of them can be sucked along to get a good number anyway. Plus, they're all beaten horses. So when a horse runs off by 7 or 8 lengths, there's a very good chance the worst horse in the race is going to finish second. Because the horses that had a chance to win are now beaten, right? Mm-hmm. And so often you see the longest price on the board come running up to be second. Don't make those a horse to watch, because they just happen to benefit from the runaway winner. In this case, Last Command's a nice horse, but he almost got beat by the worst horse in the race. As a matter of fact, right here, where there's a nose separating the second choice and the worst, or the first choice and the worst horse in the race.
What? Do you own consideration for handicapping? Do you give any thoughts to the fact that you have two tough races and that maybe you might need a little rest?
Sometimes. But he didn't have two tough races. Only one.
Well, if he turned himself behind that other horse and then still came in at that time.
Oh, you mean that McCree's next time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it depends on what he does with it.
Take that into consideration, sure. That fact, because it's very possible that second race could have been a tough one on him from being off.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. That's Thoroughgraph's point with Valiant Cougar. That horse would not win the other day. That was a positive statement, right? And it wins by 8. You have to take it in light of what they do with the horse. Now, suppose Gary Jones, who's as competent a trainer as there is. Suppose Gary Jones now takes that horse up to Bay Meadows and runs in a minor stakes race, right? Gary Jones is telling you personally, and me, and everybody else, that this racehorse is still plenty live, and he's worth shipping up there into a race that you would normally think he wouldn't be in. And then I play. If, on the other hand, he drops back down to 50,000 in his next start, I would avoid him like the plague. Let the trainer do that. That's his job. I'm no trainer. Now, the other day, I got to tell you a story the other day. The fun things about being in the boxes now with Quinn and Lewis and everything, there are a number of people who come around and get consensus from all of us, right? What do you like? There's a guy there is who do you like all around the racetrack? And he goes, and he was coming to Quinn, to Lewis and everything, and Jim says, you ought to ask this guy too. And the first three horses that he got from me all won. One was Romantic Jet at $15, another was Aspirated 8. And the other one was Holy Smokes at 10, and I guess the first four. So now I'm part of the Who Do You Like Brigade.
Ending the list is a better thing, right?
And so he comes up the other day, and in the feature race, I guess it was, the other day, there's a race that was a very short price horse called Any Song. Any Song had the highest back to W in a race, was also a decent closer, but it had a horrible weakness in the early fractions. The second choice in a race was a horse called My Virginia Reed, mm-hmm. The second best figure. Her lifetime turf record at that time, in 6 starts, she'd won 4 and been second once. The third choice in a race was a horse called Mousy, who had earned a huge pace number in a race before because she had been on the grass running against Seldom Seen Sue. And seldom seen Sue and she went out five lengths faster than the split division of that stakes over at Hollywood Park when a little earlier, later did it. So she really had earned a big pace enough for her. So those are the two that I was playing, my Virginia Reel, who I had preference for, and Mousy. And I played them partly because the other horse was such a short price, plus it had a weakness early. Now this is, who do you like coming around now? He says, who do you like? And I said, well, I'm going to play more of my money on my Virginia Reel, and I'm also going to play Mousy again. And I didn't get a whole lot of comment from him. Then he asked Quinn, who do you like? Well, Quinn liked my Virginia Reel number one, period. And he says, who do you like? My Virginia Reel. He says, you guys both like that. Don't you know that horse was ran 3 days ago?
4 days ago.
4 days ago, whatever it was. So, okay. Now, I heard at least 8 people come up to Quinn and say, who do you like in this race? Because that's his specialty, right? So, I like my Virginia Reel. And every one of them says, that damn horse was ran 4 days ago. Every one of them. Now, when the race was over, one of them came back and said, Jesus, that was a good call, Jim. And the point is that my Virginia Reel, being back in 4 days, you know, he was trained by an amateur trainer. A fellow by the name of Laz Barrera. He hadn't done much. Laz Barrera is a better trainer than Tom Brohan. So if he thinks that horse can come back in 4 days onto her favorite surface, I'm sure someone's going to trust him. So that's what you got to do. You know, you're back to good taste now, right? Depends on what Gary Jones does with the horse, because he's very confident.
Well, you answered my question. Okay.
I just wanted to share that also, because yeah. His name is George. Who do you like?
When they bring him back, that's a strong sign. Your trainer comes back in 5 days or less.
Can be, if the guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. And they had run very well on Monday against Top Corsage. And then was back on Friday. But the fact that it had run strong, they didn't work that horse at all. And she ran very gamely and won a race, made $16 because.